Welcome to the jungle. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Okay, now, nothing in the way of interviews until the last segment of the show. So that means about 90 minutes, an hour and a half of wide open driving. It's like the jungle Autobahn. 1-800-636-8686. Get out, open it up. Follow me on Twitter also, at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. We had Herm Edwards. We had Charlie Hoffman. Ben Golliver joins me at 11:40 Pacific time. National NBA writer for the Washington Post. He will close the show. So as you know, it's Smack-Off season. And today is May 19th. The Smack-Off itself is June 19th. So today I can officially say we are now 1 month out. And if your sense of urgency was not already there, it should be right now. 1 month and counting until the main event. If you've been tuning in for the past week, you know I've been running down the field and profiling the major players. So far, I've hit on Leff in Laguna, Caleb in Green Bay, Rick in Buffalo, Mark in Hollywood. Today, I've got another player profile. Today, we focus on the weirdest caller maybe in jungle history. I'm going to argue the most unique, the most different. And you've heard me say it. Generally, I think that weird is good. In this case, to me, weird is great. If I'm talking about the weirdest caller in jungle history, then you know I'm talking about Jeff in Southfield. Jeff, having any title in the jungle is amazing in and of itself, considering he's only been calling the show since July of 2018. Not even 2 years. But in less than 2 years, he's carved out a space like nobody before him. And it all started with that very first call, that first vine that he grabbed less than 2 years ago when he made what I would consider the best first call, the best debut call to this program ever.
Hey, Mike and Indy. In your Smack-Off call, you dub yourself the undisputed silverback of the jungle. Who you kidding, fool? We all know the accurate color of your back is extra pale, pasty white. Your back is whiter than Jeff Van Gundy's ghost. And your neck is redder than Caleb's face when his parents bust into his room and catch him getting excited about Boston chicken. Remember, Rachel shaved your back. It turns out Rachel didn't shave her back. She shaved off the first two letters of her name and became Chael the MMA fighter. Sorry, Mike, that bromance you thought you were having is really just an ugly chick. You know who I'm not going to crack at, Jim? Henry Winkler. Jim, Fonzie is the first clone ever. He was a clone before you were even born. The character Fonzie on Happy Days was an adult male, aged somewhere between 30 and 45, not married, no kids, and living in the spare bedroom of a suburban family's home. Now that's a clone if ever there was one, Jim. I wonder if Fonz's full name was Arthur Caleb Fonzarelli. Jim, while my respect for the Fonz as a clone has skyrocketed, my respect for the notion of the TV character Fonzie as a ladies' man has plummeted. No wonder he never got a second date with Pinky Tuscadero. Turns out his hopes of scoring with her got Malachi crunched between two realities. One, he doesn't have enough money to take her anywhere better than Arnold's. And two, the bed he wanted to take her to is in the spare bedroom of Mr. and Mrs. Cunningham's house.
I gotta wonder about this guy. Like, when this guy went to make that call, I wonder if he knew that I would think as highly of that call as I do, or if he was going to flame immediately and get run because nobody would understand where the hell he was coming from. Luckily, I got it right away. Immediately during that call, I immediately started to think, who the hell is this cat? Where the hell did he come from? What did he just say? Like, from that very moment, Jeff in Southfield became a household jungle name because he has checked in time and time again and taken some of the most bizarre runs ever heard on this show, including that time he cracked back on Geno in San Antonio for all the shots that Geno had taken at Detroit. And if you have not heard architecture smack and line dancing smack on this show, you are about to.
Hey, Geno in San Antonio. Detroit's entire skyline is iconic buildings by renowned architects like Albert Kahn, Ort Rowland, and Lewis Camper. San Antonio has one iconic building, the Alamo, which looks like it was designed by the architectural team from Taco Bell. San Antonio has less soul than a country western bar. Hey, country western bar, you need to rename your dance floor the We're Too Stiff to Dance Floor, since all I see you doing on it is walking.
I see you walking forward 5 steps, walking backward 5 steps, and walking sideways 5 steps. Hey, cowboy, in Detroit, walking ain't dancing. I wasn't sure why the women of country western bars put up with that crap until I figured out what the cowboy hat really is. Turns out the cowboy hat is just a visual distraction that cowboy uses so cowboy's woman won't look down and notice cowboy can't dance.
Holy crap. Like, you have a problem with that. You got a problem with you. Cowboy. The only reason cowboy wears cowboy hat is so cowboy woman can't look down and realize that cowboy can't dance. The cowboy's walking. Like, when it's better in playback or it's better than you remember it, it's good. So since he showed up, architecture smack, line dancing smack, cowboy smack, Fonzarelli smack. And since this all started, there have been a couple of common refrains, common takes about him from the rest of the clones. Either he's a Mike and Indy character or doing a Mike and Indy character, despite the fact that he took a run at him in his very first call. Either he's doing Mike and Indy or he's doing Mitch Hedberg. Personally, I don't think either are true. But both takes are rooted in this notion that that's somebody doing an impression of somebody else, which is ironic because Jeff in Southfield has made a name for himself by doing impressions, but he's out there in broad daylight doing it as an impression and not trying to be somebody else or not trying to rip something else off. He does impressions from John in New York to Grant Napier to Trapper to Matt in L.A., to Cal in Vegas as well.
Jim, I went to the internet, Jim, and your podcasts are awesome.
Whatever, four-time Smack-Off winner, I'm a 40-time guest host, and I have my own show. Ooh, you won $5,000? I make $5,000 every time someone dunks at a Kings game. Hey, Brad, the reason my gorgeous wife is with me and not you is because I'm a good-hearted fellow. Hang up the phone and go listen to Jesse's Girl by Rick Springfield, Brad, because I'm Jesse, and you're just wishing, you loser.
Another great thing about Old Trapper is it won't cost you 30 pieces of silver, babe. You can have it for as little as an Ira Craig royalty check. Tramps like us, babe.
Yo, Romeo, from reaching over trays and sell block D to my job cleaning trays at Mickey D's, you're welcome.
Hey, Mom, I'm tired of you favoring my sister. You better buy me that toy I want. Or I'll meet you in the basement, rip that makeup off your face, and make you eat it.
I'm telling you, this dude. Like, you never know what you're going to get with Jeff. You just know it's going to be weird. And it's going to be original. And I'm here for all of it.
I'm not saying Big Daddy B Cups is overweight. I'm just saying if Beaks was in the rock band Led Zeppelin, their hit song Stairway to Heaven would be titled Stairway to Heaven. Too difficult. I've been watching how Keith does his job, and I believe I am qualified to be his replacement. Much like Keith, I can stand with my hands in my pockets doing nothing. Like Keith, I can make business casual clothing look like I'm wearing sweats. And like Keith, I am talented enough to push a print button and carry a piece of paper from one room to another.
Hey, Cal in Vegas, remember these words. The reason gamblers say winner, winner, chicken dinner is because gamblers don't win enough to eat steak. When your side salad has a Mount Everest of bacon bits on it, you've broken your diet. Do what you really want to do and dump out that lettuce and put that mountain of bacon bits on top of a bowl of nacho cheese-covered taco meat, you sick pig.
Hey, Cal, you can think Las Vegas is classy and glamorous. I think Las Vegas is what happens when that place Robert Kraft went to puts blackjack tables in its lobby.
Hey, Jeff, I'll believe you can afford luxury sleds and Armani suits when I see some evidence that you can afford Bluetooth.
And I don't want to hear how Green Bay is like a college town. How is Green Bay like a college town? Let's see. You've replaced the cap and gown with a cheese hat and snow parka. You've replaced professors with plant managers. You've replaced students with plant workers. And you've replaced classrooms and books with break rooms and porno mags. The only way that's like a couch town is if we're talking about Ohio State.
Hey, Wisconsin, you need to change your motto on Wisconsin to on our way to diabetes, Wisconsin, since you are.
I'm a starving tiger for the title King of Smack.
I don't know who I'm more impressed with, him or Alvin. Look at the XR4TI earning their stripes, earning their paychecks, doing this guy right. And the most amazing thing is, when you listen back to that, Hey, by the way, bravo, crew. I don't know if I've ever given the guys on the other side of the glass, I'm not including you in that writ. You had nothing to do with it. That's just for the front row right there. That's Hawk and Avi doing Jeff Wright. When you hear that, that's an amazing profile. When you hear that, though, hard to imagine two things. Hard to imagine that last year was only Jeff and Southfield's first smack-off. That rip that I just played would be a good jungle career for anybody else not named Brad. That guy's done all of that in less than 2 years. And amazingly enough, despite all of that, that was his first smack-off. And maybe even more surprising is the fact that he did not finish in the top 10. That might have been the most surprising plot twist of Smack-Off 25. Jeff went on for 5 minutes and finished out of the top 10. And I think for those 5 minutes, he was kind of out of rhythm on the big stage. That'll happen. It's the main event. That was his first rep. That was his first big cut. Calling on that day is a lot different than calling on any other normal day. But I don't doubt for a second. He'll be back, and he'll be back ready to go. He'll be back on the 19th. I fully expect him to have a much, much, much better showing in his sophomore effort. Because those calls that I play back, those regular season calls, those normal day calls, any of those would probably have been better. Maybe not any of them, but a lot of them would have been better than what we saw on Smack-Off Day. So I know he's got it in him. This dude's got a gear and a skill set that I haven't seen. Not better, but different. And sometimes different is better. So now he's got that experience of that maiden voyage under his belt. Not every great horse wins first time out. Not every great horse hits the board first time out. There have been some Hall of Fame horses that finished out of the money first time out. They need the race. They need the experience. They need some of that mud kicked up in their face. Stucknut has got him going off at 9-1. Let me tell you something. If I were a betting man, I'd hit that. That'd be one of the plays. And I don't want to color that because I'm the guy that makes the decision. But I'm just saying, if I were somebody looking to get down and I was not a part of the decision-making process and I heard what I just heard, in fact, I wonder. I don't know about Stucknut. I don't know how those things are affecting the odds. Generally, the odds are affected by the money that comes in. But if I just played what I played and I heard what I just played, that number has to be affected. That number should not still be 9-1 based on what we just did on the program. I'm not sure how that affects the odds on Stucknut. But 9-1 for that guy? Good value. He's got the game to shock the world. Now it's just a matter of putting it all together when it matters most on the big stage. Can he do it? 1 month, and we'll all find out. Where do you come out? Would you hit that thing at 9-1? I've also mentioned in the past week or so, in years past, actual betting sites would take action on the smack-off. Not every year, but some years. It would seem to me, without that much action right now, with people betting on ping pong and the weather and darts, the smack-off would be a really viable event. I don't know. I want to stop right there. I don't want to do anything or say anything that would jeopardize anything at all. In fact, you know what? Don't put it on the regular boards. Don't do it. I'm going to stop saying that. Leave it on Stucknut's board where you can't get down legitimately. When we come back, your reaction to that. Do you think that guy can win? I think he's got the game. I think he's got the skill set. Can he put it all together when it matters most? Still ahead, some really wacky, absurd Rona activity. And it involves one Charles Cheese. I will have that for you. Big Bart wants back in. I will have that. I'm still trying to get to my final thoughts on The Last Dance. And Michael Jordan, now that we've watched it, now that it's said and done, what do you make of Mike? Like, what did you think the first week or two? What do you think now? And what do you think about him in retirement? and a good social beef between a couple of good NFL players. All of that still ahead. About that player profile, who's next? We're doing one every single day. Jeff in Southfield. Did that affect the odds at all? Check that out for me, Hawk. Like I said, I don't know. I would imagine that's not fluid. I would imagine the odds don't move on Stucknut's site quite like that. What? Yeah, Adam, I understand.
His what?
Adam just relayed to me that Stucknut relayed to him that the odds move after calls, but not profiles. It should be both, Nut. It is your site. I've never once told you how to run your site, Nut. You know this. And I appreciate you. And I appreciate that you've given the better part of 20 years of your life to this show. But how could a profile not affect it? Granted, I am objective, but it's not about what I say. Here's the nature of odds. It's how it affects the mob. It's how it affects the betting and or listening audience. So it's not about my opinion per se. It's about the content. Did you not just hear really good content? Do you not hear that content and think to yourself, this is a guy that can make a difference on that day? Wouldn't that impact the odds somehow? Or maybe if I do the full profile and you're like, I don't really see much there. I don't hear much there. I don't think that guy's got it. Rome just gave him the treatment and I didn't hear anything that was that significant. Might that impact the odds the other way? Yeah, I don't know. They're your odds. They're your odds, Nut. Anyway, he's 9-1. So do you see value in that? Then again, why am I asking if you see value in that? Because what can you do with that? There's nothing there, right? It's just content. It's just something to talk about. I guess since we're not actually gambling or betting, I will stop asking you if there's value in that. But if we were, I'd see a hell of a lot of value. I'd be loading up on that. I'd hit that hard. I'd hammer that at 9-1. Let's check out some reaction really quickly. Mike in LFK tweets, War Jeff in Southfield, weird and funny as hell. Yes and yes. Dear Jim, we are requesting that you do not do a player profile on Silk Bra. We heard enough charcuterie from this Delta Brava last night in our meeting. Signed, the Huntington Beach Town Council. Brian and Charlotte, War Rome doing tomorrow's player profile on Bodie in Pearland. Alvin could probably throw that together right now as I riff. The Bodie in Pearland.
Come strong, Israel, because your ass in a war.
There's your Bodie in Pearland profile.
Well, dog, man, I almost choked on my spit. That rapping game is hard, dog. Suck it, Brad.
Suck it, Brad, could be his player profile.
Going to a party in the Texas town. Pearland girls, they was just sitting around.
It's my man, Bubba.
Blinded by the fright, dropped off a little deuce, and then I ran for my life.
That's not a good call. No. It's my guy. I haven't heard from Bodie in a while. Bubba. I love the guy. So Brian and Charlotte mentioned that Delta Brava, Bravo, Silk Bra, from the Huntington Beach Town Council meeting. That's a real thing. He's not just making fun of him. He was periscoping from the city council meeting yesterday. He was there. Hey, Pimp, at this rate, baseball might as well implement a ghost runner system if we can't hold the runners on. War the Sandlot crew ripping Redman and yakking on the tilt-a-whirl at the town fair. War team dip. Trevor in Houston. Again, you're asking Major League Baseball, and you have to. If you're going to bring the sport back, you have to bring it back the right way. It's got to be safe. I understand why there's a 67-page document. I understand why it's so thorough and so detailed. I understand a lot of these things. But like I said in my take, it's one thing to ask these guys to leave their family for 4 months. It's one thing to ask these guys to play a Major League Baseball game and not let them shower. But it's still entirely another to tell them they can't dip or spit. Good luck with that. Johnny Scabs tweets, Jimmy, maybe Major League Baseball should just hit off tees. We're available. signed the Dodgers postseason pitching staff. Scabs, you're not bringing a hell of a lot to it either on the phones or Twitter right now. All right, then. Speaking of the phones, let's see what we got. Buffalo. Jake in Buffalo. What's going on, Jake? How are you?
Jim, thanks for the vine, brother.
Oh, wait. Not everyone in Buffalo talks like they're a constipated pro wrestler. Yo, I actually called in to take a swipe at Kyle in Green Bay. You know, it's one thing to bust some chops and get on Twitter and say, you know, beef's got plenty of gravy, or say, you know, Nooch is burning more trees than a Brazilian paper company. But if you're getting really mean with it, that's just a bad move, bro. And for real, you know, I'm trying to be sympathetic, and I see him driving this hotel on wheels around and basically just hanging out with a bunch of dudes. And, you know, he's hanging out with so many dudes, I'm honestly waiting on him to post a selfie from J-Sue's dorm room. I mean, for real, I haven't seen someone surround themselves with this kind of sausage.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Yeah, Jake, I don't think I have to work that hard to figure out where you were going with that. Now you're done.
Now I'm done.
That clears out a phone line that should have never been used. Now you ask yourself, if I come off of what I was doing, and that's the first call I take, presumably that's the best of the bunch. Am I right, Hawk? And that's what we got. So where do we go now? Last time this guy called, he called me Joe.
I'm good down here in Texas, bro. Hope everybody at the Rome household is getting down and being safe, man. Listen, Joe, Jim, I wanted to take a run at...
Too late. No. Like you thought, hey, man, I corrected myself. I'm good. He'll let that go. No, he won't. But you know what? It'll happen. Let's give him another shot. Hey, Johnny.
Stuff like this happens, bro.
You're about to be. Stuff like this happens, bro. I get it. You're about to be on the Jim Rome show, Johnny. Keep that in mind. Let's go to Texas. What's up, Johnny?
Jimmy, what's going on, brother?
Better. Not too much.
Man,
how about
listen,
you?
Listen, dude, a very, very humble. I'm sorry for calling in. I know your name. It'll never happen again, bro. Man, listen, dude, I have been really having a good time on Twitter, getting to know some good clones, and especially getting hyped about Smack Off 26. But here recently, man, I've had some people come after me, and I want to go ahead and address those bros. Hey, Kyle in Green Bay, dude, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but there is like a global pandemic going on. Why are you taking roadies to go hang out with other clones? Are you that socially irresponsible that you don't give a crap about families and the people, you know, the cars you sleep in at the rest stops? Dude, keep your ass at home, dude. We don't need to see you shaking hands and drinking girly beer with other bros. And hey, by the way, clones, get off Wellesley in the 360. The bro and his wife just had a woman, had a baby. And, you know, it happens, man. If you've ever had any kids, you know you kind of have a little bit of baby weight that goes on and some sympathy eating. But Wells a good dude. Get off of him. Jim, last night, Reggie in the I Can't Breathe OC hit me up on Twitter and said that, I don't know, he was just taking a run at me. And I'm sitting here going, dude, you can't even get through a call because your lungs are shattered. Because you're so far up the BIC's butt. I mean, seriously, dude, just get off of me. Hey, Matt in Garden City or Garden View or, I don't know, Home Depot, Garden Center, why are you calling me fat, dude? Why are you saying I've got a fat face? Let me tell you something, Matt. I thought you were a good bro. Latino on Latino crime is not cool. So get off of me. So here's the deal, Matt. I got a full head of hair, bro. I got awesome blue eyes, and the ladies like me. You know why? Because I have...
That's not a good call. No.
Here's the deal, Johnny.
I don't like that call.
Now you're done.
Now I'm done.
Johnny, that was way more hack off than it was smack off. Literally what you did is you just scrolled down your feed on Twitter and you found everybody that talked crap to you. And you just lined them up one by one and said, get off of me, get off of me. Hey, you, Reggie, get off of me. Hey, Matt, get off of me. Hey, Kyle, get off the road and get off of me. Hey, everybody, get off of Wellesley. He's not that fat. Hey, get off of me. I have amazing, beautiful blue eyes. Hey, get off of me. Hey, Matt, I got all my hair. Get off of me. Johnny, you got my name right. I'll give you that, but that's all I can give you. Dude, if you want to respond to these guys on Twitter, respond to these guys on Twitter. That's what it's there for. I mean, I could treat this show like Twitter and just mute you, but then I'd have to follow you in order to mute you, or I could block you, but I'm proud of this fact. To this day, despite all the vitriol and all the venom and all the bullcrap on Twitter, I have never blocked anybody. Not once. Not ever. You know why? I don't care. Do what you got to do. You do what you got to do. I'll do what I got to do. And I got to keep y'all straight in the jungle. Let's go to the doc and see what kind of reaction we're getting. O.M. Glancy tweets, this dude talking about not being able to get through a call while stumbling over every other word and getting run is something else. The thought crossed my mind. I was just proud that he got my name right. Stucknuts in. Quote, there is a new narc in the jungle. It's Johnny. Chris in St. Pete tweets, what the hell was that call? Ray Ray in Tampa would wipe the floor with Johnny. Hashtag bring in the hacks. Bring in the hacks. At the Jeremy and PDX tweets, you know who doesn't have to get off Johnny? Women. You know, I haven't said this in a number of months, if not years. I used to always say the biggest topic on the show is the show itself. But in smack off season, and especially during a pandemic, the biggest topic on the show is the show itself. For sure. Dear Jim, why did you run Johnny? He's our guy. Regards, unoriginal and stale takes. Signed, Lee in Hartford. Again, he didn't have any takes. He just wanted to take... He wanted to mention everybody that clapped back at him or took a run at him on Twitter and take this opportunity on my radio program in front of about 8 billion listeners and say, get off me. Get off of me. He started off by saying, you know what? There's a lot of really good clones on Twitter, and I'm enjoying it. However, there's a few that are taking runs at me, and I'd like to mention them. Get off of me. Pretty much the entire JTP. If you just said that, hit memo to the JTP, get off of me. You would have saved me about 3 minutes. At Hitman Canadian tweets, hey, Johnny, at least we keep our train wreck calls brief. Signed, Josh in Detroit, Lauren in Naples, and Dr. Dave in Chicago. Haven't heard from Josh, have we? Train wrecks them all. Can I tell you, though? Johnny makes Josh sound like the BIC.
I mean, seriously, dude. Just get off of me.
I mean, seriously, dude. Like, stand back. Here it comes. But what we're standing back for and waiting on is another get off of me. I mean this. I mean this. Listen, get off of me. And to you, get off of me.
Get off of me.
Well, I got something for you, bro. Get off of me.
Get off of me.
And another thing, get off of me.
Get off of me.
At D. Wilcox, 1968 tweets, hey, Johnny, get off of me.
Hey, John.
Sincerely, your telephone. Check out this guy in the middle box, man. Feel free to leave your house once in a while. Get some sun. Get off of my TV.
Get off of me.
Anyway, I need to take a break. When we come back, some more Rona absurdity. I mean, even though things are starting to loosen in numerous states, it may or may not be getting better. Maybe it is. I hope it is. There is still some real stupidity flying around. Absurdity. And I will have that for you. But what I have...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Spitting content, quality content. Do you want to be prepared for Memorial Day? Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, does it even feel like Memorial Day? It's just so weird at this time, right? It is Memorial Day. You want to make sure you are prepared. Pepto-Bismol has you covered. Try new Pepto-Bismol Chews. They're a great-tasting way to get the same fast relief that you know and love from Pepto-Bismol, so you can enjoy all that grilling worry-free. Use as directed. Keep out of the reach of children. All right, you have your phone number. Be careful what you do with it. You saw what might happen. But it is smack off season, so you can't be afraid. You have to walk towards that you fear. 1-800-636-8686. I mentioned that it's really weird that it's Memorial Day weekend, because normally you're going somewhere. Chances are you're not going anywhere. So you forget the weekend's coming up, and you forget that it's a holiday. It's like blur day. It's like one long freaking day, right? Doesn't it seem like it's one long freaking day? Like a three-month-long day. So it's the virus. It's the Rona. It's COVID-19. As the coronavirus continues to keep many of us in lockdown, there are more and more unbelievable stories that could only happen as a result of the pandemic. And they're still rolling in. Today, I could fill every one of your buckets with Rona absurdity. I will not do that. But I do have a couple of stories to share with you, starting with this unbelievable news item out of South Korea. A local soccer team partially filled in the empty seats in their stadium with sex dolls.
Sex with me.
FC Seoul apparently was not content to play their previously postponed championship game without fans. Never mind that if we could just get the games back, even without the fans, we'll take that. And it works. We saw what Dana White did, three events with UFC in Jacksonville in about a week. So it does work, but not for these folks. They needed people in the seats, but they couldn't get people in the seats. So instead, they went with a bunch of sex dolls. And they put jerseys on them, and they parked them in the stands. The only thing more absurd than having a bunch of life-size sex dolls in the background of a highly rated soccer game that families across the country were watching is the apology that the team then spit out. Quote, "We sincerely apologize for causing deep concerns to the viewing fans. Our staff went through the confirmation process that they were not adult products several times," end quote. So their staff went through a confirmation process to make sure they were not sex dolls. They're not? Oh, all right. If they're not sex dolls, then why were the sex dolls holding up advertising signs for the sex doll company that manufactures them if they're not sex dolls? I'll tell you why. Because they were sex dolls. So why are you telling your fans that you thought they weren't? You didn't know? How could you not know? Look at them. Definitely sex dolls. Epic fail, FC Seoul. You better get busy on your sex doll confirmation process. Clearly, it doesn't work. You can't make this stuff up. A South Korean soccer team put sex dolls in the seats, had them holding up signs for the sex doll company that made them, and then issued an apology saying that they went through the confirmation process several times and did not determine that those were sex dolls holding up signs from a sex doll manufacturer. But no, they're not sex dolls. Ordinarily, that would take the cake. Ordinarily, that would take the prize. But there's something even better. And the reason for that is this other story is a tale. It's a tale of lies. A tale of lies, deception, cover-ups, and one giant buck-toothed rat. If you lived in the United States for any part of the last 40 years, you are undoubtedly aware of the chain franchise Chuck E. Cheese. Chuck E. Cheese. For those of you who do not know, and is there anybody listening who doesn't? But if you don't, it's a birthday party destination for kids between the ages of 4 and 12. And really freaking weird. Normally when I say weird, weird is good. Not in this case. Inside you'll find an arcade, set of arcade games, and dance floors, and a ball pit, air hockey tables, and a gigantic rat mascot named Charles Entertainment Cheese, plus the world's worst cardboard pizza. The price of admission is not what you pay to be there. The price of admission is your insides. That you lose and give up as a result of their pizza. For the past 2 months, Chuck E. Cheese has been shut down and relegated to takeout orders only. One problem with that, nobody in the history of the universe would ever eat Chuck E. Cheese pizza outside the establishment. So when it came time for people to pick a place for pie, nobody was picking Chuck E. Cheese. Stands to reason. Either you're going for the mom and pop New York style brick oven pizza, or you're going to go for the straight value play with the big three. The Hut, Domino's, or John's. Pizza Hut, Domino's, or Papa John's. If you absolutely hate your life and you've lost your will to live, you order Little Caesars. But under no circumstance do you pass up any other or every other option and willfully go to Chuck E. Cheese. You would never do that. You go there because there's some kid's party that you absolutely cannot get out of. Or you go there because you hate yourself and you hate your life. Turns out the brass at Charles E. Cheese even knew that. So they did what any struggling business would do. They went into survival mode. Turns out survival mode for Chuck E. Cheese is changing the name of the business, not telling anybody, and selling the same crappy pizza under a different name on Grubhub, DoorDash, and Uber Eats. This is amazing. For the last 2 months, customers across the U.S. have unknowingly been ordering Chuck E. Cheese pizza, thinking that it was something different. Something different called Pasquale's Pizza and Wings. It's incredible, right? Unfortunately for E. Cheese, a Grubhub customer in Philly blew the lid right off the entire scam. This customer noticed the address for Pasquale's was exactly the same address for their local Chuck E. Cheese. And after noticing that the pizza was the same too, this person texted their Grubhub driver and asked if the pie came from Chuck E. Cheese, to which the driver responded, yes, it did. There's catfishing on the internet, and there is rat fishing in the pizza game, because that giant rat just got caught rat fishing unknowing customers. And the story from Philly turned out to be the same story nationwide, as all the other Pasquale's traced back to a local Chuck E. Cheese. Man, imagine knowing your pizza sucks so bad that you have to change the name of the restaurant just to get people to buy it. Then imagine going through with that plan, knowing that every address nationwide traces right back to your business, and just crossing your fingers every day that you won't get caught. What? Like 612 Pasquale's, a place that nobody's ever heard of, just popped up overnight out of nowhere. Dang, like that is a hell of a rollout. Even Pasquale himself had to know that con would never fly. That freaking giant rat had to be thinking, let's just run this scam until somebody figures it out. And somebody will. But until then, let's jam as much provolone into our pockets as we can. Well, they knew all right, because they had an explanation already locked and loaded. In a statement provided to Food & Wine magazine, the giant adult rats at E. Cheese said, quote, "It's a different pizza. that features a thicker crust and extra sauce, giving customers a more flavorful premium pizza experience, end quote. Freaking genius. Man, these rats are playing chess. I hate that I'm out of time. These rats are amazing. Pasquale's is amazing. Pasquale E. Cheese. My final thoughts, further thoughts on Pasquale E. Cheese when we come back.